Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
You guys must be praying pretty hard to have me come out here, so we're excited. And we announced it last week, and we announced it this morning in the PM service, or AM service to say, about just me coming out once a month just to come and visit and serve. You know, that's, we're a team here, and, you know, many hands make light work, so we're out here just to build Jersey, the tri-state area. And so tonight we're just going to dive right into it. We're in a sermon series in the book of Mark, and for maybe some of you that may be the first time here tonight, but in the series in the book of Mark, it's fast-paced. Mark opens up different from the other Gospels. A lot of them have more of a genealogy, kind of open up slow, great. But Mark, just, it's in your face, and it's quick. It's a quick pace. Things are happening. Jesus comes on the scene. John the Baptist is baptizing. Things are happening at a rapid pace. And so out of the gate, Jesus comes out of the wilderness, defeats the devil as far as just letting him know that I'm the man, and I'm getting ready to do some great things here on this earth, and you need to get out of the way. And as he begins his ministry, we begin to watch him see that he has power over demons. He has power over sickness and disease. He has power over your own destiny and purpose, because he began to call men and out to follow him. How many of you know it's kind of difficult, man? Could you imagine being on your job and Jesus showing up and saying, hey, come follow me, and you just get up and go? And so he did that. And as he did it, man, Jesus, like I said last time, Jesus is a rock star. Jesus was the Bruno Mars of his time, because the crowds followed him. And it got so crazy that Jesus would have a boat waiting on the side for him to get out of there because the crowds would press. But Jesus knew how to get people off of him, because he could always tell if you were after the blessing or you were after the blesser. So they kept moving. And along the way, he runs into some people called Pharisees and Sadducees, these writers of the law. And these people were mad because Jesus was messing some stuff up. How many know if you start messing with people's status and you start messing with people's money, we got a problem? And that's what Jesus started doing. And so these people begin to plot and they begin to scheme. How can we get Jesus? What can we do to get this man? And so they begin to conjure up ideas and asking tough questions. But come on, people, he's God. I mean, it's not like you're going to stump him, you know, make sure that he's not going to get this thing right. And so these men would come and they'd hit him with different things. And then this other group would come in, the Herodians, and this political sect. And so you got the Republicans and Democrats working together to get Jesus. And it's getting crazy. And so here it is. We're going to pick up in Mark chapter 12. I'm going to try to fix this so I can see a little bit, some light on the thing here. And last week, Pastor Nathan just preached a little bit about the internal and how God is after the internal. He's looking for fruit. So it's easy to call ourselves Christians, but if we don't bear this fruit, then we're going to be in trouble. People will know you by the way you live, your lifestyle, the external. And so I'm going to pick up here in chapter 12, Mark chapter 12, and Jesus is going to run into a Sadducee. And this man is hungry. This man wants to know a little bit about Jesus. You know, there was a lot of people that wanted to really know about God, but they were afraid what other people would think. And that's where we are in our society today. We're hungry for Jesus. We know the word. We go to Bible study. We go to the sermons. We go to all these places. But when we get into culture, we freeze. We get scared. We're intimidated. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God is getting ready to draw the line in the sand and start calling you and I out to the next level. He's going to call you into situations that are difficult. There's going to call you into situations where people are going to find out who you really are and what do you really believe, and will you follow him no matter what. And so here in Mark chapter 12, I'll just read just a little bit, because this is the Jesus with one of the Sadducees. And it says this, starting in verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them the good answer, he answered him, all of the commandments, which one is most important? Which one of these commandments is most important? Verse 28 or 29, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Say all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second one, which we're going to talk about tonight, the second one is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. No commandment greater than these. And this man was coming to get this answer from him. And so as he's coming, Jesus already knows what they're about, because the religious leaders taught love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. And so Jesus is trying to call his bluff. He's saying, look here, if you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, you're going to end up loving what I love and hate what I hate. And God loves people. He hates sin. And so this man is starting to understand a little bit more about the neighbor. What is the neighbor? And Jesus is telling him, if you do both of these, this is greater than any sacrifice that you can give. Greater than any sacrifice. Because this here fulfills the law. It fulfills the law. Neighbor. You know, it's funny. I had a friend of mine back in Nashville. This man was zealous about reaching his neighbor. We, you know, we always, as pastors, are trying to get you to reach people. Pick up the phone and call this person. Text that man. Reach your sphere of influence. You hear that a lot around your sphere. And so my friend was zealous. Him and his wife, they're like, all right, we're going to go through the growth track. We're going to get in a connect group. We went to Kenny's class, and we're going to get all together, and we're going to go evangelize our neighbor. And so the one thing you got to know is, before you engage culture, you got to know what you're engaging. You got to know what you're getting ready to get into. And his neighbors were from India. And so this man is like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have a barbecue. And so he goes and he's having this big barbecue. He's got the ribs going. He's got the chops. I mean, he's doing his thing. And all of a sudden he goes over and he asked him, would you like to come to the barbecue? And they're like, well, what are you, sir? You know, what are you having? We got hamburgers and we got ribs. And the people are like, what? And they're kind of offended, but he doesn't know why. And so he comes back to our meeting at church, and his heart's broken. He's feeling downcast. And Pastor, I don't understand why the people won't come to church. They won't come to the connect group. They won't allow me to share the gospel. And I said, brother, you got to understand. You're eating their God. You know what I'm saying? You're eating their God. You can't do that. You got to understand, when you're going to cross over and reach your neighbor, you're going to have to know something about him or her before you engage them. If they're from another ethnicity, learn about that ethnicity. Study culture. Understand what's going on before you engage. Pray. Ask God, give me a word of knowledge. Give me something that I know about this man or woman that I can hook them, bring them in closer, not as a target or some kind of trophy, because I genuinely care about them and want to see them spend eternity in heaven with Christ. Jesus taught opposite of what people in the world taught at that time. Romans 12, 14 through 21, it says this, and I need you to get this, because Jesus always cut across the grain of society. He said, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who mourn. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Low position. Do not be conceited. Just because you and I know the true one and only living God doesn't mean now we look down on people. Just because you have a gift doesn't mean that you look down on people. No, you humble yourself and you show them the love of Christ. You show them that, you know what, the Creator created me for something special for you, and I want to engage you and bring you into this thing. It says in verse 17, do not repay anyone for evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. And on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on her head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Tonight we're talking about loving your neighbor. Loving your neighbor. My first point is whatever God makes, he loves. Whatever God creates, he loves. You see, God said in Malachi 2:10, do not all have one father? Then I not create us, you and I? Why do we profane the covenant of our ancestors by being unfaithful to one another? God loves his creation. He loves it. He loves you. He loves me. He loves all ethnicities, Asian, African, Caribbean, Latin American, the Middle East. He loves them all. And he's calling you and I to engage them and to reach them for the love of God. It says this in Psalms 139, 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know full well. God is madly in love with his creation. And I need you to get this tonight. He loves people. And if you and I are going to reach our neighbor, we're going to have to learn how to do it because of the love of Jesus. See, Jesus always went first. He never allowed somebody to do it but after him. No, Jesus said, God so loved the world that he sent his only son. His son came down and engaged us. We didn't go up to engage him. He did it first. Why? Because he wanted to redeem his creation. Do you understand that God loves his people? When you cut the television on or whatever it is you watch, your phone, it doesn't matter. God is watching these people. And he's seeing the things that are going on in society, the foolishness in politics, the foolishness in education, the foolishness in athletics, the foolishness when it comes to Wall Street and all these places. God is saying, I want to engage these places and make them right. I want to make them right. And so you have to understand tonight that God is in love with his creation. And if you want to reach your neighbor, you're going to have to love him first before you can go out there and love somebody else. Number two, love is action. It's not just mere talk. Any husbands in here? Come on, raise your hand. If you're married, I'm going to speak to you men and future husbands in here. So when your wife says, honey, do you love me? And you say, yes. She says, well, go over there and get on those dishes for me then. Love is action. Love is action. Honey, if you love me, yes, I do. Well, why don't you go over here if you have children and change those poopy diapers for me because I'm tired. Love is action. And so Jesus is always encouraging us not to be just about talking. We sing it all day. We, Jesus, we love you. I know I can't sing. That's why I ain't on the worship team. Jesus, you know what? It's okay. We can sing all day, but we got to go out and demonstrate it. 1 John 3:18 says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions in truth. Actions. Action always speaks louder than words. And there's all types of love. We know philia, friend. No, that's just me and you hanging out. And then you got eros. You know, that's that intimate husband and wife love. But then you got this love that Jesus demonstrated, which was called agape. And it's love where it doesn't matter. It's unconditional. Even if you don't love me back, I still love you. I still love you. And people in the world need to see this right now because everybody's trying to get something from somebody. You do this for me and I'll do this for you. No, how about I just do something for you because I love you anyway? I don't want anything from you. You can keep it. Let me bless you how I want to bless you. Agape. You know, when I first moved here, you know, I was down and out. It was probably one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do, leave a place that I was for 16 years, bringing my children here. I went through a difficult situation, and I'm landing right here in New Jersey and New York. I didn't have any friends. The only friends I had at the time were people on staff. And I remember my kids were away, and it was just me alone, and we were having a conference here. Unite. You remember? It was amazing. We all came together worshiping God. And afterwards, everybody during the sessions, people kind of would break out and go places. Well, I didn't have any friends. So who am I going to go with? But once again, love is action. And so Terry and Bruce grab me and they say, Pastor Shino, come with us. I didn't know anybody. But they know my love language was food. So it's just like, I'm coming. And so we go and we're breaking bread and we're having fun and we're talking and I'm meeting new people. But you know what? They didn't want anything from me. They were just showing hospitality. They were showing genuine, authentic love. Another moment I remember coming over here, and it was a holiday where the kids were out of school. And, you know, I'm a single dad, three kids. I got a 19-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 13-year-old, two girls and a boy. So we come over here, and I'm, you know, I got to work. You know, I got a job. And so I'm coming into the city, and I'm scratching my head. What am I going to do? Where am I going to put these kids? They're on holiday. So I drag my two girls with me. You know, girls, you're just, oh, God. But you know what? My son bailed out on me like he always does. You know, Dad, I got something to do. So I come in the city to work. But you know what? Terry steps up and grabs my girls and takes them shopping so I could do my job. She takes my girls so I can do my job. And they had a blast that day. Dad, we went on the subway, first time ever on the subway, went shopping, spent all my money, I'm broke. So I felt good that they were able, but it was love. It was genuine. It was action. Pastor Shino, I know you got to teach an evangelism class. I know you got to work hard for the kingdom, and you're a single dad. Let me come in there and help you. Let me come help you. Bless my soul. My girls got to be around a woman of God. They got to see it's okay to live in the city and have a good time and keep yourself right. Agape, agape. Another time I remember just walking in the city and just or coming in the office and I had some things going on personally and I needed to talk to somebody. Anybody need to talk to somebody? And you want somebody to be real with you when you're talking. You want them to put the phone down. Can I get an amen? Put the phone down. Look me in my eyes and listen because I got something to say. And I remember grabbing Nathan, and I said, Nathan, man, God, I don't know what to do, man, but you've been there before, and I need you to help me with something. And we begin to talk, and as I'm talking, and he's speaking the truth. See, it's okay to take the mask off, but just don't take your clothes off. There's a difference. And what I'm saying about this is that, you know, in those moments of vulnerability, those moments of vulnerability when you're being candid with each other, you're talking and, you know, you want to go there, but I don't need details. You can keep it right here. I don't need you telling me all the stuff. And so as we're talking, I'm taking my mask off and I'm hurting about some things. And he's just sitting there listening and he gives me this word of encouragement. And I held on to that word. It was something about one of my children, and it just blessed my soul. And I need you to understand tonight that love is action. And you need to find somebody who's genuine and who's authentic and who cares. Because people in the world are hurting, and they need to find a man or a woman that cares. But they don't want anything back, but they care. They care. We're talking about neighbors tonight. Reaching your neighbors sometimes costs. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, I'm sorry I didn't give you the scripture, but God loves a generous giver. And sometimes you got to sow. Sometimes you got to meet somebody where they need to be met to help them get them on their way. And I'm telling you right now, people are watching how we handle our resources and finances as believers. I always tell people, you want to know what's in a man or a woman's heart, all you got to do is open up the checkbook and see what's going on. Generous, cheerful giver. And the one thing that I understand about reaching your neighbor, you have to be compassionate. You have to love. And this first picture I want to bring up about a guy that we disciple on the New York Jets, he has this compassion for single moms. And I'm looking at him thinking, bruh, why you like to do that? And he's like, man, because my mom was single and my mom didn't have anything. And I used to watch people come and bless us and take care of us. Neighbors drop stuff off and help me and help my mom get on our way. So I always told myself, if I ever make it the same way that people treated me, my neighbors, I'm going to go back and do the same. And so he has this organization where he just blesses people. And we have a woman in our church. You bring up that picture. Do you have it? Is it up there? Her name's Lanice. Now, Lanice, single mom, is a cancer survivor. And she's during Christmas, and she wasn't doing too well financially. And Buster hears about it, and he says, do you have anybody in your church that I can bless? And I'm like, man, yeah, we do. Let's go to Lanice. So we sneak over to Lanice's house, and we're kind of quiet. And all of a sudden, Buster just shows up like Santa Claus. And I looked at Buster, and I'm like, brother, can you adopt me too? Because all the stuff started rolling out. I'm thinking, my goodness. She was overwhelmed because it was going to be a bad Christmas. But somebody had enough love in their heart and compassion to say, you know what, I'm going to help somebody. This next one blessed my heart this year. This is something that happened this year. This next woman that you see this picture, her name's Lauren. And Lauren's married to a man by the name of Ryan. And Ryan is not a follower of Jesus Christ. And so she started coming to church. And let me tell you about Lauren. Lauren and Ryan together, blended family, have 7 kids under the age of 10. 2 sets of twins. And so I didn't believe it. You know, there's no way. There's no. And this woman is the sweetest one. I'm thinking, how in the world? I can barely handle 3. You got 7? 10 and down? And she comes to church full of joy, holding the baby. I'm thinking, my goodness. And you know what? Her husband lost his job. And here comes Buster once again. Pastor, you guys got anybody? And she's weeping. She's crying. Pastor, I don't know what to do. But you know, we got that wink going. We know what's coming. And then we show up at her house. And you know what? Her husband, he can't do nothing but just sit back. And we all looked at each other. And we said, this is the God that we serve. This is what we do. Jesus. We celebrate him, but we also demonstrate him. We demonstrate him. Compassion. Do you have that in you? Do you have that in you? The last picture that I have is just something personal. And I'm not here to pump my own tires or whatever. I mean, we do this. But when I moved here, man, I dove headfirst into the community because I love people. And I didn't realize what I was getting into. But I started coaching a peewee football team. And I'm out there on this team. And, you know, I'm thinking, man, every game that I've played in or been a part of, we always say the Lord's Prayer before we start the game. Always. And so I got ready, you know, coaches. Now, they're not church folks, so, you know, there's some language going on. And so we're talking, and I said, man, we got to pray. They're like, Pastor, they didn't call me Pastor. This coach, we can't do that. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, that kid there, he's Muslim. That kid there, he's Jewish. That kid there is from here. Don't believe it. All across. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Now I know why you put me here. And I began to speak to those kids. And I begin to coach up and not down, because a lot of coaches put kids down, but there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And I begin to coach up, and I begin to speak life, and I begin to encourage, and I begin to tell kids how good they were and how great they can be if they work hard, if they listen to their mom and dad, if they do the right things, they can get to where they want to go. And one day I'm sitting there on the sideline just kind of minding my own business, and these parents walk up to me, and they look at me, and they said, there's something different about you. We couldn't put our finger on it. But we Googled your name and we saw what you do. And I wanted to let you know that we believe the same thing you believe. We're praying for you, coach. And we're praying for your team. The community, the neighbors. And you know what? I opened my home up. And I got kids from all over just sitting in my house, eating pizza, tearing up my house. I don't care. You know what? I want them to see the love of God. I want them to feel the love of God. It's action. Action. We have stories of people just showing up for funerals. How many of you ever been to a funeral? Funeral's not joyous sometimes, is it? It can just be down. It can just be bad. Unless you go to a black funeral. It's a little different. because they call that a home going party. You know, we going home, so it's gonna be good in there. And so some of these places we go to, and it's kind of like, man, you can feel the weight, but if you know that they lowered the Lord, you can preach faith to the people because they went on to a better place. And so I remember I'm there with this couple, and they've been visiting the church, the mom, bringing her son and his girlfriend. Once again, they're watching. Why do I want to go to a funeral for? Pastor Adam, you go. But all of us went, and we just sitting there. And you know what? That man, the son looked at us, and he just said, you know what? You guys are for real. And he and his girlfriend came to church. He and his girlfriend get engaged, and they're trying their best to get right with God and do this thing right, sitting on the back row, amening and preaching, or encouraging, all because we showed up and showed the love of Jesus. We got a guy in our church, and I'm telling stories tonight because I love telling stories, because I don't want you to think that we're going to make you do something that we're not willing to do. I'm not going to ask you to go out there and evangelize if I'm not evangelizing. I'm with you. I'm locked in with you. I understand that it can be inconvenient at times. Got a guy in our church, used to be the leader of a Hell's Angels biker gang. We talk about reaching people. And his mom passed away. And we had to go to the funeral. And I sent PA to that one. I'm not going there, brother. You on your own on that one. And he went in there and loved on him, was there. And this man, just happy that somebody showed up. PA did the funeral, blessed him, blessed his family. Now they're in our church. How about this, pastors and leaders? You bring somebody to church, and all of a sudden all hell breaks loose in their life, and we get that phone call to come get them, help them. Had a man come to church, and his mom died suddenly. And he had told him all about how good Every Nation New Jersey is. You know how it is. You get the flyer. Look at this, pastor. Our church is this, multi-ethnic, multi-generational. Man, we love people. We love God. We're about to see. Mom dies unexpectedly. He brought his friend to church. He wasn't even a member of the church yet. We showed up to the funeral, all three of us. Man breaks and weeps. Tells a story about how much his mom was loved and all these different things. You know what? He and his family, head first into the growth track. Head first. You people are for real. See, love is action. We could talk all day. But when you're ready to really step up, the neighbors will know, because you'll be right there for them. The last point is love is a sacrifice. It's sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 says this: love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Praise God. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always persevere. And I like the start of verse 8. It never fails. It never fails. Inconvenient moments. You ever been inconvenient? Man, I don't have time to deal with this mess. I don't have time. But you know what? Jesus didn't have time either, but he did it anyway. So last time I preached here, I remember I'm preaching, I'm giving everything I got. I'm doing everything I can do. Last time I was here, full of faith, God moving, people getting healed and delivered and set free. I walked out of here on cloud 9. And you know what? All of a sudden, I got out of here and crashed and burned. The flu got a hold of me. And I was on my back for 4 days. And in those 4 days, I had some plans that I couldn't get out of. Inconvenient moments came. Promised my son I was going to take him to go see Black Panther. So you know what? Whatever I tell my son I got to do, I got to do it. Dad, you sit up there with all those church people. Why won't you come and be with me? You're right, son. Let's go. 100 and something degree temperature. I'm sweating. Daughter turned 16. Same day. Daddy, you said you were going to take me out to eat. And I'm by this time, I'm on my knees crying out to Jesus. Lord, take me. I'm sitting there at the restaurant with her sweating. She's looking, Daddy, what's wrong with you? I'm there. Then I get up and I drop her off and I'm going home and I crash. We got staff meeting on Tuesday. I walk into staff meeting because, you know, you got to go to work. You got to go to work. Anybody ever had to go to work sick? Raise your hand. I ain't talking about no sniffle. I'm not talking about little allergies. I'm talking about you just, man, I don't even want to live no more. And I'm up in there. Adam looks at me. He said this, man, what's wrong with you? Pastor Dottie looks at me. She's the mother of the house. Baby, what's wrong with you? I just sat there. I don't know. It ain't good. Let's just get this meeting over with. And so I get up and I go home and I just fall into bed and I'm wrapped up in my sheets and I'm ready to do this thing. And all of a sudden, phone rings. People from the church. My wife is going in for a test. She had an aneurysm a while back and we're going to go in and get the results and just see if this thing has come back. I'm like, Jesus. Get in the car, drive about 40 minutes to go see him. I'm just sitting there. I'm just there. See, sometimes just being there counts. Just being there. You ain't got to say nothing. Just be there. I'm going to close with this one. Go home. I'm still sick. Didn't live. Go to bed. I'm thinking, man, I'm going to have the best sleep of my life. I'm NyQuil'd up. I'm the man of faith. I got word. I'm doing all of this. God help me. I'm going to get out of here. Phone rings. 1 a.m. in the morning. Now, usually that call is my kids. So I'm thinking, okay, who wants what? They need a ride. No, it's our children's pastor. His wife. She's screaming at the top of her lungs. My little boy, Matthew, is having a seizure. Never had one in his life. Don't know what's going on. She's in an ambulance, driving to the hospital. 1 a.m. in the morning. She lives in Staten Island. I live in northern New Jersey. It's an easy hour and 10 drive. You know what? I'm going. Get in the car, drive. Get there. She's bawling her eyes out. He's crying. I'm just sitting there with him. That's all I could do. Pray. Trust God for the best for the baby. You know, when Jesus shows up, he's in your space, in your dark moment. You always remember that. And so tonight, what I want to say is this, as we're closing, is that if you're going to love your neighbor, it's going to cost you. If you're going to love your neighbor, it's more than talk, it's action. If you're going to love your neighbor, you're going to have to be willing to do something that you normally wouldn't want to do. So as we pray tonight, as Easter approaches, because it's coming, I said it this morning, I'm going to say it again. 80% of people will come to church on Easter if they're invited. Because everybody's talking about it. What church you going to? What are you going to do for Easter? What if they're invited? So my prayer for you tonight is this. Demonstrate the love of God by reaching out across those lines and asking a man or woman to come into a place where they will be changed forever. I can't change a man or a woman. You can't change a man or woman, but God can. So, Father, tonight I just thank you. I thank you for all the good that you've done and all the good you continue to do. Lord, bless your people. And I'm asking tonight, Lord, that faith would arise to believe you for that man, that woman, that coworker, that family member to be invited to the house of God on a day that is so special. Lord, we trust you. We honor you tonight. And all God's people said, amen.
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.